Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
All right, welcome to episode 237. This week we have a special guest, Brother John Ruhr, past master of the Patriot Lodge. He's taken some time out of his busy schedule to be here with us, taking time away from being a dad, being a full-time employee, and also some time away from some other projects he's doing because of a big project he's got going on right now. It's a reason we have him on the show to talk about it. For our listeners, you saw some of the posts that we had come up over the weekend. We kind of live tweeted. There was some live Instagramming going on. We were at the Pennsylvania Grand Lodge's Academy of Masonic Knowledge, which is their yearly symposium. They had us all out there, and we all made a presentation. It was really cool, really fun. First up, though, was Brother John Ruark with his really, really cool presentation, and you can catch it on YouTube. I recommend, highly recommend checking that out. So if you haven't watched it yet, go watch it right now and come back, or go watch it right after this is done, or listen to it. It's really good. So, John, what was the title of the presentation? What was your goal, and what did you do?
Sure. Thanks, Robert, and thanks for having me on the show. Yeah, the presentation that I did for the Pennsylvania Academy of Masonic Knowledge, I wanted it to be something brand new and unique. And for those who know me from the Masonic Roundtable, I like my esoterics, but I also am an engineer by trade. And so it's a good balance between right brain and left brain. And I've done quite a few esoteric papers in the past couple of years. And I thought, well, why don't I challenge myself and do something a little more research oriented this time around? Another thing that we bring up on the show is every year when the Masonic Services Association of North America puts out their new membership stats, we kind of see what's going on around the country. And unfortunately, every year, the numbers keep going down. Right. And the first thing that you then ask yourself is why? Well, there's not much data behind there. And I took it upon myself to try to uncover what's going on, peek behind the curtains, as it were, and find out what's really going on with our membership. So the name of my presentation was Lies, Damn Lies, and the Statistics of Freemasonic Membership. And I kind of give that credit to Jason Richards for coming up with a catchy title, but I didn't realize how true that was going to be when I went into it and started looking through the data.
Yeah, I have to tell you that for me, I'm also a data analyst by trade, also enjoy the esoterics, so I totally know what you mean by being really balanced. One of the greatest things that this fraternity allows us to do is to chase our imaginations sometimes. That being said, there isn't much you can do to specifically state things in the fraternity. We're from time immemorial, there's so many different traditions and so many different crazy things that go into building what we are. It's quite a treat when we can speak to facts about Freemasonry. And so I think you really blew the audience away. You guys listening at home wouldn't know unless you were there, but there was one gentleman who he's a big deal out there, and he really wasn't thrilled, I don't think, with the prospect of having these five young dudes come out and talk. And when John was done with this presentation, this guy was like John's new best friend. He's like, I've been preaching.
He almost
this.
Hugged me.
Yeah, he goes, I've been preaching this for years. And it was really interesting to see that dynamic, that change, the attitude change there. A great presentation. I don't want to give too much away about the presentation. I want you guys to go check it out and watch it. But basically, John found out the hard way that you can't just go asking grand secretaries for their information about membership, even though they publicly publish their email addresses. And even when he went through the proper channels, he didn't quite get the response you would expect. So he had to do what he had to do, which was basically go searching through piles of data at the George Washington Masonic Memorial, where they keep all these records and stuff and Grand Lodge proceedings, and pull everything he could. And he got some amazing data, guys. I really suggest you go check that out. This led us into something else that we had been talking about in the past. I got a hair up my backside about a year ago, and I ran a survey about the Northern Jurisdiction and the Southern Jurisdiction's royal secret. So the survey results were really interesting. I thought, well, what else can you do with a survey? And I did some other stuff, and I made a survey called Making Freemasonry Better. And really the catalyst was Grand Lodge of England, United Grand Lodge of England, ran this huge survey, put it out in their magazine. And of course, I'm sure we got the snippet and the Cliff Notes version. But we all kind of thought on TMR, we kept thinking, well, of the Montesonic Roundtable, we kept thinking, well, why don't we make like a massive mega survey? And so I kind of was talking a little bit about, you know, surveys and stuff. And then here comes Greg Stewart from Masonic Traveler. And he says, I did a survey a long time ago, and he sent me his data, and it was just straight list data, and it was crazy amounts of information. And John kind of looked at all of these different questions and then really formulated a way better way of doing this.
Actually, that's a great setup, because that's exactly how everything progressed. I'm definitely standing on the shoulders of giants when I've looked at what's been going on with your surveys, with surveys out on Reddit. And each of them seemed to be targeted, and I wanted to take more of a broad brush approach to looking at Freemasonry as a whole. So what I decided to do was carefully craft specific questions and really approach it from a polling and data analytics. What am I trying to learn? And that is definitely an art, and it's an art that I'm trying to improve on. But I thought, if I were king for a day, if I wanted to be the Grand Master of the United States, if there was such a thing, what would I want to know about the craft? And when you look at those numbers declining every year, again, as I said, I want to know why. I want to know what consists our membership, meaning what makes them tick? How do they think? How do they operate? What do they like about their lodge? What do they like about their pendant bodies? What do they do personally in their own lives? And so I wanted to kind of cover a little bit of yin and yang, in the sense of I wanted to make it a Masonic survey and ask questions specifically about their Blue Lodge experience and what they've done beyond their Blue Lodge. But on the other side, I wanted to make sure that I also ask some questions about who they are, what they do, how old they are, what they like to do, do they have a family, and a couple of those kind of questions. And hopefully, what we'll see if we craft the data just right and be able to slice it appropriately is try to maybe see some correlations, to see maybe that the younger crowd, because I can filter by age, I can see maybe the younger group might favor one aspect of Masonry that's different than an older crowd.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that will help drive attention to certain spots in Masonry that we could plus up or we could minus.
You guys listening to the show right now, we'll have a link to this in the middle, right in the show notes. Right now, this survey John created, and he went live with it on Tuesday night, the last Masonic Roundtable. He came out with the Ultimate Masonic Survey 2016. I went ahead and I took it right away. I forwarded it to every single Facebook group that had Masons in it that I could. I encourage you guys all to do the same. If you have somebody who can't do the web, like if you have some older members who don't do internet or whatever, print it out and have them fill it out, and then go on and input the information for them. Really, it's a really good survey. John, what's the URL?
Sure. So it's a long Google form URL. So I decided to shorten that with a tiny URL. So it's easy to remember. Take out your phones right now and go to tinyurl.com/Masonic Survey. You can even add the www if you wanted to, but it's tinyurl.com/Masonic Survey. And I specifically chose the Google Forms thing because those brethren can pull it up right on their phone and fill it out on their phone.
That's
so even
where
if
I did
you're
it.
At Lodge and with those brethren who don't have smartphones, there you go. You can sit right next to them and just type it right in your phone and fill out the survey on their behalf.
Yeah, it was a really pleasant user interface. I did it on my phone yesterday, just after we finished recording the show, actually. I was in the car. Really good questions. Now, I will say this. The survey does start off in a scary way to some folks. If you don't know John Ruark, John is, he's a data guy, but he's a, I'll just call it out for what it is. He's like a 23rd century data guy. So he understands the security needs of today.
Right. So I do have a master's degree in information security and assurance.
So
from George Mason University, which is why I decided to help out the Patriot Lodge at GMU.
So there you have it. I mean, he's not going to do anything with your data, but I mean, there are a couple questions that some people are feeling are too personal or whatever, but here's the thing, right? These are questions that anybody could ask you. There are more people who you accidentally friend request and steal your data and then put you on a calling list than will ever happen with any of the data collected here. First page, I think, might ask you the most sensitive question on it is probably your income level. A lot of Masons don't want to reveal that. And that's, you know, but here's the thing is that it is secure data.
So I wanted to address that too, because again, it is a matter of trust. And as I said in the beginning, that the survey will be kept extremely confidential in the sense that the data will not be released to anyone but myself. So that's the key takeaway. I want everyone to know that this is just a personal, private project that I'm trying to do, and we'll share the results, you know, in a graph form, in a collective form, later on, probably this year. The catch is that no one brother will be identified in any way based on the data. The reason is you know, part of the security background is a thing called K-anonymity, where you can make sure that data that does get released is in no way even obscurely tracked down to a specific individual. This is done in the medical industry, for example. When they release patient records, they have to be HIPAA compliant, right? So therefore, when you release tables of data and what patients have been getting which treatments, you cannot release enough data that it's easy to reverse engineer and figure out who has what ailment, right? That is a big health violation. And so in that same manner, any data that does get released later on will be in charts and graphs and be aggregate data, will not be individual, you know, Robert Johnson's information is X.
Right.
Also, when I wrote the questions, I wrote them such that they were still coarse-grained enough, right? So you'll see specifically with the salary range, these are in chunks of like 50K, you know, salary ranges. So it's not meant to narrow someone down to a specific income level and try to figure out what they're trying to do. It's just something, again, that you'd probably see on any other kind of survey that's out there on the internet.
One of the things, you know, we've talked a lot here about what you're collecting and the kind of data you're collecting. Toward the end of the survey, there are some personality trait questions. There's been a little bit of talk about those. Would you like to go ahead and address that?
Yeah, that's great. So another thing from a leadership perspective, I've done a lot of research and studying on different personality traits. And one that people like or they hate, I'm on the like side, is the Myers-Briggs type indicator, or MBTI. And it's an optional question on the quiz. But if you want and you don't know it, you can go to, I think it's 16questions.com, and fill out an alternate survey where you can find out what personality type you are. And what this does is it determines how you operate mentally, cognitively, and especially in social environments. So are you more extroverted, or do you get your energy just by having your quiet time alone? Do you like when you are applying your work, when you're doing your trade craft, do you like to have a lot of data and focus on very linear, orderly left brain tasks? Or do you like to be a big picture thinker and try to look at the whole gestalt when you work? And so these kind of personality questions, they're different things for different people. And I thought, wouldn't that be neat to see, does Freemasonry attract very linear, orderly people, or does it attract big thinkers? Does it attract extroverts vice introverts? And so I think that would be just another piece of data that would be good to figure out, what is the personality type of your average Freemason?
Yeah, it was really interesting, you know, to look at it. And I have never done the Myers-Briggs testing. I've done ones through like Gallup poll that my work makes us do, strength finders and those kind of things. It was really cool. So I just took a break right there. I clicked on the link that he's got in the survey, did my personality type, took like 2 minutes, went right back to the survey, and I finished it out. I thought it was a really fun extra little exercise. I mean, all in all, you're talking about like 15 minutes of your time. I mean, you can do this sitting in the car waiting for your wife to get out of the grocery store, or that's probably sexist. One thing I did find was interesting was during the middle of the test, one of the questions is, are you male or female?
That's right. I also wanted to see who bit on that action, on that question. And so knowing that the internet is global and that is not contained within the United States, while I do want to get a better understanding of United States Masons, I didn't want to limit it to that. And we do know that co-masonry does exist. We did a co-masonry episode on the Masonic Roundtable. And so I wanted to see, maybe we'll get some female Freemasons that will fill out the data, and we'll see, is there some sort of similarities or differences in their responses. Also, based on current events, we wanted to also include the question of not only your marital status, but your sexual orientation.
I thought it was nice and I thought it was very intuitive to be able to ask those sorts of questions, because this is the future of the fraternity. I myself think that if we're really a universal fraternity, that needs to go full stop. We talked about like what the questions are and how to get through it and what a little bit of what your aim is, but what is the one really important piece of data that you're hoping to get out of this?
That's a great question. And I think specifically, if I get nothing else out of this data collection, and I probably could get a lot less, because I wanted to also emphasize that most of the questions are optional. And I know that's one thing that people started to feel uncomfortable with, was there's just too many questions, and they I guess they started it and reached a point. Many of those are optional. Fill out what you feel comfortable with. And so I'd rather have some data than no data.
Right.
And so part of what I'm looking for that I think would be a huge win comes to something that I think you set the groundwork for, RJ, which is asking people, when they think about their lodge experience, what do they prefer? Do they prefer the ritual? Do they prefer the fellowship? Do they prefer the food? Do they prefer esoterics? And if we can kind of pull that data aside, look at trends, because again, there's other questions were carefully selected to align with those preferences, then we can again see some correlations. I'll go back to the example I used earlier. Do we find with data now, not just what we think, not just anecdotal data, but with actual data surveying the craft, do younger Masons prefer esoterics while older Masons prefer the fraternalism and the brotherhood and the green beans and spaghetti? We don't know that, but we'll find out. And if that would be a great piece of data to have, to say, you know, if you're trying to retain the brethren you have, look at your average age within your Grand Lodge, and then based on that average age and based on the survey, here's maybe where you want to target and focus and keep these programs alive. If you want to recruit or focus on a younger generation, based on the data, here's what the data is trying to tell us. So again, I'm doing this project because of my passion for the fraternity, and I don't want to see it die, and I don't want to see those numbers go down every year. And I think by extracting this type of data and the correlations therein, that may be a point for the Grand Lodges to act.
So something that I was criticized on when I did my survey was there were some amazing people who are in data that said, this is a great job. You did a good job at this. And of course, I had on the other side, I had some naysayers who basically said, it's totally flawed, blah, 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 blah. And I don't know where they were going with it. Basically, they said that it was flawed because it was just an online survey and it was only going out on Facebook and Twitter and things. And it is flawed in that respect. And this will be flawed in that same respect unless all of you do this thing and print it out and bring it to your lodges and tell your lodges about it. Maybe over dinner, have a guy go from table to table and get questions. Do something, get the data, because without the data, you know, we're all looking for all these ways to save the craft. We're doing blue lightnings. You know, you're going to find something really interesting about blue lightnings if you watch that video I talked about in the beginning. Okay, so we're doing all these things to try to save the craft. We're doing charities. We're doing pancake breakfasts. We're doing this. We're doing that. And it's not working, dudes. It's just not. So with this data, we could come out with something that will be this bright shining star that John might be looking through the data, and it's like he's looking into the Ark of the Covenant, and it just shines out at him. It's so beautiful. I've got the data.
I hope so.
So let me ask this also. This is a heck of a project to take on. So Greg Stewart did a survey. I did a small survey. You're doing this like survey, and by no means is this thing exponentially. I think Greg's survey was much more in detail and in depth than the one you put out. But as you said, you crafted this in a way that you could slice the data appropriately without getting too lost in the details. My question is, what happens next? I mean, is there going to be an annual survey?
So that's a good point. Well, I put some thought into that as well. And the very first thing you see when you go to, again, tinyurl.com/Masonic Survey is the 2016 Ultimate Masonic Survey. I've done a lot of the hard work already. And if we do a sample of the craft between now and St. John's Day, then that'll give me some time to put the data together over the summer. But the good news is we can do this again year after year after year. We're going to get new members in. We're going to have members leave. We're going to have different shifts in data. And being a data guy, this is all a single data point, right? We want trends over the years. We want to see, is esotericism increasing? Is spaghetti dinners decreasing? We won't know. And so we'll only know one data point at the end of this. So I think because the information's already set up, and depending on how it's received at Grand Lodge levels, this would be very easy to turn back on next spring and continue this and try to aggregate this across time.
I think that will be amazing, and harder than getting the data for you, I think your hardest part is going to be getting your foot in the door. Grand Lodges are very self-serving, the term. I'm not sure how I want to put this, but essentially, if you aren't a part of the Grand Lodge and you haven't been tasked with gathering this data, they don't want to hear it. How are you going to tackle that?
That's a great point, because there's two aspects of this, which is asking the Grand Lodges to take care of this and pushing down to the membership would never happen. And that's a direct result of me trying to get data for my Pennsylvania presentation. Secondly, because of the passion that we have as Masons on our Facebook groups and on Reddit and all that, I really do feel that this would be better served as a bottoms up, a grassroots survey. And that's why I appreciate what you're doing here to help spread the word and make this as effective as a grassroots effort. That, of course, there's going to be holes and pockets in the data, but it's going to be much more than one Grand Lodge or many Grand Lodges working together could accomplish, in the sense that most of them are looking inwards and because of their sovereignty.
Right. So they're looking inwards because of sovereignty. They're also not having to work together. They would essentially get nothing done, in my belief. Having one dude collect the data independently, or if you have a team of dudes behind you, it's going to make it a whole lot easier to collect this data, and I think really make a real impact. And even if Grand Lodges don't recognize the data, if you can get this data out to the greater number of Masons who are out there, who are all probably on Facebook, contrary to what Grand Lodge might think, they're going to know the data, and they're going to take those statistics, and when they get into Grand Lodge, then they're going to look back and they're going to go, why haven't you guys been doing this also? Or, you know, why aren't you?
That's a great point. My gut reaction, I've been thinking about that too. So what, right? After all this data, let's just say I find the Holy Grail. Then what do I do? Do I go to the Conference of Grand Masters, if I get an invitation, right, to give that data? And then I'd have to package it up in a nice 20-minute presentation, but depending on the data and various correlations, it might be bigger than 20-minute presentation. So I thought exactly what you did. Maybe we'll see that this could be a longer step-by-step summary of all the questions, and then not be restricted to a time format or an audience, a specific audience, but give it back to the community as a whole for perpetuity.
And that brings up you kind of mentioned before, and that just hit me, was we talked about the Grand Lodge of England, United Grand Lodge of England, UGLE, and how they did their survey. And what's interesting is that they had a lot of success with this, but here's the interesting point about UGLE's survey, is that the Grand Lodge of England is the Grand Lodge of England. It's basically one country with one Grand Lodge. We are a country with essentially 50 Grand Lodges. It's a whole lot different of a game, especially in the sense that U.S. lodges have a lot more liberty to adjudicate themselves, per se. And the UGLE is much more, this is the protocol, you will have everybody answer these questions, okay, everybody, and they'll put it in everybody's hand, and everybody has to turn them in, the secretary will take them and send them all in. It's much more structured. This data is, the amount of work going into it is pretty incredible, guys. And so I would definitely share this data and get it out there for everybody. This is airing on Sunday night at 9:30. Last Friday, there was a post that went up on the Midnight Freemasons, and it will, if you go back and check it out, it'll talk a little bit about my previous survey. It'll then have a link. You can watch John's video right there. And then after that, it'll be all of the data kind of in bulk in a few pie charts, like 9 of them, on the data that I collected. And then, just before you get to that data, actually, you can take John's survey at tinyurl.com/masonicsurvey. Super easy to remember. How many responses have you had so far?
Well, for right now, in the first 24 hours of the survey, we have about 500 responses, which is really great because your show is the first one that I've really gone out and started to do the mass marketing myself. I do have other intents to get that up on Reddit and other areas as well. So probably by the time you're listening to this, you'll have already seen that. But I think that's kind of fascinating in the first 24 hours that 500 people, through your efforts, I'll give you all the credit, RJ, just spamming other groups because you believe in this activity. And I'm already seeing some interesting things pop out of that. But again, trying to relay those now, I think would really skew the data because it's such a small sample set and what I hope it would be.
Sure, sure. So, John, you alluded to earlier, I don't know if the listeners caught it, but this survey will be live until when?
This survey will be live until St. John's Day, which is June 24th of 2016. That gives us about 3 months. I chose that time frame because it was long enough that people could bring this up at their stated meetings, that if you are listening to the show, please stand up when the Worshipful asks for any additional information. Share that information with the brethren. And if you miss that month for whatever reason, try it again the next month. And that way, about 3 months worth of time would have gone by. And I think that would have given everyone an opportunity to bring this up at their lodge meetings, but also not be too long to drag this out. Because on the internet, 3 months is forever. Yeah. So I thought a good time to stop would be right there on a day that means so much to Masons, which is St. John's Day, and start to go through the data and hopefully come up with something by the end of the summer time frame.
That'll be really cool. We'll be looking forward to, as you start to process the data, to get some possible little tidbits here and there, little breadcrumbs, if you will. So guys, again, check out that Midnight Freemason post. Head on over to the MasonicRoundtable.com. Check out the videos from the PA presentations. And then we've got the Masonic Roundtable goes live every Tuesday night at 10/9 Central. Brother John Ruark is our host, moderator, and does a fantastic job. John, I have to give you a huge congrats also on that presentation in Pennsylvania. I thought you did a great job.
Thank you. I hope others listen. I hope those who have ears will hear, and we can make some change in the fraternity.
I hope so. So thanks for being on the show, brother.
Thank you, bro.
All right, I hope you guys enjoyed that interview. At this point, I just want to mention our sponsor for the show, Brothers Blend Coffee. You can go to www.brothersblendcoffee.com, which will, of course, bring you to their website, where they have three different versions of coffee that you can pick up. You can pick up either the Tyler's Cup, Harmony Roast, or Adoniram's Brew. All of this coffee is phenomenal. I've been using it for the last 2 or 3 months. It's amazing. Great coffee and very affordable. And what's great about it is that it's produced by Montgomery Lodge in Milford, Massachusetts, to provide the very finest in coffee to the brethren wheresoever dispersed, their friends, families, and colleagues. And it's a fundraiser to support the charitable causes, activities, and maintenance of that lodge. Junior wardens and Masonic caterers can get a discount on large orders. If you have any questions, contact sales@brothersblendcoffee.com. Again, it is very affordable. For a 12-ounce pre-ground bag of coffee, you're looking at $10.89 plus, I think, $3.99 to ship it. And they do PayPal, so it's not like you have to write an old-school check and send it in. You can just do it right online, and they're really good about it. So consider checking those guys out, www.brothersblendcoffee.com. And another way you can help support this show is by checking out our website, wcypodcast.com, and please go to the Support the Show button, and you will see links that you can go to Onnit Labs, where you can get things like Alpha Brain, Hemp Force Protein, all these great things. Of course, Alpha Brain is my favorite thing that they offer. It has increased focus, all natural, so there's not even dyes in the capsules. They're vegan approved, if that matters to you. Promotes lucid dreaming, heightened awareness, and it does this without caffeine, so it's really kind of cool. If you go through our links, it's a great deal for you because they'll send a little bit of your purchase price back to the show. And what we can do for you is we get the code WCY to use on the checkout, so you guys can get 10% off your order. And it usually totally covers your shipping, which is great. Other ways you can support the show is by going over to freemasonryart.com and check out some of the greatest artworks you'll see around by Brother Juan Sepulveda. and you'll get 10% off by using that same promo code WCY. And if you care to, go on over to the limited edition shop where you can pick up one of our lapel pins. I've got a few sets of cufflinks left and a couple money clips. And so outside of that, there are no more tie bars. I didn't think the tie bars would be the first to sell out, but they sure were. So get those when you can. They are $10, except for the cufflinks because it's two pieces. We did do 15 on those, but it's only $2 to ship anywhere in the world. We do flat rate shipping. So please do check that out. Of course, if you don't want anything and you just want to donate to the show, consider doing a PayPal donation, which you just click and you can click through to the PayPal button on our site and you pick the amount. So if you want to donate 50 cents or a dollar or whatever it is, you can do that. And we really appreciate it. It keeps this show running all the time because, of course, there is no member fee to have this podcast up. So all of our episodes are always available from episode 1 to episode 236, the one right before this one, available all the time for you anytime you want them. So in order to do that, we rely on these donations. Thank you very much in advance for checking that out. So if it is news to you, it's probably a little bit crazy. We heard last Thursday there was the issue of the Grand Lodge of Tennessee, who had a ruling on banning homosexual membership as well as anybody dwelling in a home with somebody else and they weren't married or without the benefit of marriage. There was an expulsion order, the way it's written, something along those lines. And of course, you guys all probably know my stance on it. I think that's a real bummer, and that's the most polite way I can say what I want to say. However, they had a chance to overturn this, and what ended up happening actually was they did not get to overturn this ruling. So it is still in Tennessee un-Masonic to be homosexual or to live with somebody out of wedlock or outside of marriage. So that's interesting, and I don't really like using that word, but it's too big of an open door. What I also did find out through some searches was that their junior grand warden, I believe, was in favor of overturning that ruling. And after the vote, because he did not favor the same as everybody else, he was voted out of the line, is what I'm hearing. So not only did they not overturn the ruling, they kicked one of their Grand Lodge line officers out of the Grand Line, I believe, in order for some agenda. It's a very sad situation. So you can check that out on Chris Hodapp's blog as those stories develop. He usually has the first word on a lot of that stuff. People love sending him the articles to break the news. So speaking about blogs and such, this last Friday I published all of the results for the latest survey that I did, which was last year. And this survey was called Make Freemasonry Better, and I hope you guys all check that survey out. And we had links to the new survey being done by Brother John Ruark, which, of course, as you know, is doing a yearly survey. So please do check that out as well. And with that, we'll go into this week's famous Freemason. This week's famous Freemason is Lewis, or Lew Wallace, born April 10th, 1827, and he passed away on February 15th, 1905. He was an American lawyer, Union general in the American Civil War, governor of the New Mexico Territory, politician, diplomat, and author from Indiana. Among his novels and biographies, Wallace is best known for his historical adventure story, Ben-Hur, A Tale of the Christ, in 1880, a best-selling novel that has been called the most influential Christian book of the 19th century. Wallace's military career included service in the Mexican-American War and the American Civil War. He was appointed Indiana's adjutant general and commanded the 11th Indiana Infantry Regiment. Wallace, who attained the rank of major general, participated in the Battle of Fort Donelson, the Battle of Shiloh, and the Battle of Monocacy. He also served on the military commission for the trials of the Lincoln assassination conspirators and presided over the military investigation of Henry Wirz, a Confederate commandant of the Andersonville prison camp. Wallace resigned from the U.S. Army in November of 1865 and briefly served as a major general in the Mexican Army before returning to the United States. Wallace was appointed governor of the New Mexico Territory in 1878 to 1881 and served as U.S. minister to the Ottoman Empire in 1881 to 1885. Wallace retired to his home in Crawfordsville, Indiana, where he continued to write until his death in 1905. He was a member of Fountain Lodge number 60 in Indiana. That's it for this week. Please remember to find us on Facebook, follow on Twitter, and check us out on Google Plus at the email address wcypodcast@gmail.com. Coincidentally, you can also email me at that same address, or if you want it a little bit more professional, you can email me at admin@wcypodcast.com. And if you go to our website, you can email any of our team members. This is a new team we've developed for this program. Of course, I hope you enjoyed last week's episode with Brother Adam Thayer, who did a phenomenal job. I hope you enjoyed those papers. If you're like me, you probably geeked out on it for the weekend. So again, thanks to everybody who came out to the Grand Lodge of Pennsylvania to see us out there at the Pennsylvania Academy of Masonic Knowledge with the Masonic Roundtable. We had a great time. I cannot thank these guys enough. There were Paul and Al and Mike and Seth and all these guys. They helped out so much. Richard Ingham, man, I can't remember everybody, and I do apologize if I didn't say your name, but holy cow, you guys were just amazing and seriously the best part of getting out there and having a lot of fun and doing this presentations. So if you want to catch my presentation that I did there, you can check out the second half of the day video. It's video number 2 from the Pennsylvania Academy of Masonic Knowledge. You can check out the video on my website at wcypodcast.com, or you can head over to themasonicroundtable.com and watch it there. I own the first presentation of the second video, the afternoon session. We've got some great content coming up on the Midnight Freemasons this week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, including a great piece by Brother Todd Creason coming out Monday. So if it's Monday when you're listening to this and you're on your commute in the morning, go ahead and check that out when you get into work or on your lunch break and give it a read. And let's have some comments. It's going to be a good post. I think you guys will all enjoy. Until next week, stay on the level for Whence Came You. I'm Robert Johnson.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.